In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today as I proclaim the Word of God. I'm going to look at what the church gave us yesterday. It was from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28b. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" And Jesus replied, "The first is this." And he says the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. And you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher, you are right in saying he is one, and there is no other than he. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. I'm going to preach on this, but you have to know when Jesus says you are not far from the kingdom of heaven, you know, there's something missing in this proclamation. And you know what's missing? Jesus. Jesus is missing. That would make a complete proclamation. To love God with a whole heart and a whole soul and a whole mind and a whole strength. And to give our life to Jesus and to love neighbor as ourselves. Well, anyway, today I look at this reading and I say, first, in order for us to love God, we must first know and experience that he first loved us. God first loved us and gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. The love of God does not start with me. The love of God starts with God. I could not love God unless he loved me. And so I need to admit, I do not love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. If I told you I did, I'd be a liar. I want to love him that way. I want to love him that way. I want to love him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength, that there's nothing that it gets in the way. But you want to know what? It's not like that right now. So I need repentance and I need grace. I need repentance and I need grace. And I need to know that it is not that we have first loved God, but he has first loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to shed his blood for us. It is not that we first loved God. You know, if you don't understand, and to understand means to stand under the cross, to know the love of God from the Lord Jesus himself, you cannot love God at all. I could not say to Jesus at night, "I love you," if he first didn't love me. When I say, "I love you, Jesus," I mean it. I mean it. I love you, Jesus. It was very interesting last night. Someone just made the proclamation that Jesus loves us. And one of the women, Nancy, just started to glow. She really took that word to herself. She took that word to herself because she knows it's true. And I said, "You know what, Lord? My bucket is upside down." I didn't say that, but my bucket must have been upside down. Jesus loves you. Now, that's the easiest thing to say, but to experience that is life-changing. Jesus loves us. And as a result of the changing of our life, we repent. We turn away from sin, and we give our life to Jesus. It is not that we have first loved him, it is that he has first loved us and sent his Son as an expiation for our sin. Now, we still are in a culture that doesn't know that we are loved by God. We are in that culture. People really don't know that. How do I know? I'm going to tell you how I know. Because tomorrow they're going to vote. And they're going to vote for the wrong person, so many people. How can you vote for the wrong person if you know that Jesus loves you? How can you vote for the wrong person if you know that killing children is the worst thing that can happen? How can you vote for the wrong person if you know they're going to take our Catholic Christian rights away from us? You know what I'm saying? I can only say this. If people vote for the wrong person, I would have to doubt if they know the love of God. If they know the love of God. Because you see, as Eleanor says, the child in the womb is our neighbor, the smallest neighbor. And if we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, the child in the womb is that neighbor. Let me also tell you this. Jesus not only said that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, on the night before he died, you know how he said it? You should love one another as I have loved you, meaning even unto death. It goes way beyond loving your neighbor as yourself. Way beyond. But most people still don't know that they are loved by Jesus. Most people still don't know that Jesus Christ gave their life for him. I'm going to tell you some stories, and they're real stories. They're stories that happened in my life. I tell you the most recent story happened on Saturday. A man came, and he had a brace on his arm, big brace. And I said to him, "What's wrong with your arm?" He says, "I'm in terrible pain. My fingers don't move, and the doctors can't heal me. They don't even know what's wrong with me. My shoulder is absolutely in agony." So I said, "Well, take the splint off, and we'll start praying." So I start declaring, first of all, that his fingers would move in the name of Jesus through the power of the blood, through the redemption, you know? And two of his fingers started to move, straighten out. And he says, "I can't do this." I said, "Well, you're doing it." I said, "Let's pray a little while longer." And so we prayed a little while longer, and all his fingers were able to move and straighten out. They weren't curled up, okay? That's just what happened. That happened. And he says, "I can't do this." "Yeah, I know you can't, but you see, you know who can, and you know who loves you, and you know who gave his life for you." Then we prayed for his shoulder, and he lifted up his arm over his head. He says, "I can't do this." That's very funny, you know what I'm saying? He's doing it, but he can't do it. But I know exactly what he meant. He couldn't do it before he came, before Jesus touched him. "He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the love that fills my soul. Something happened. Something happened. He touched me, and he made me whole. He touched me." That's it. The touch of God is so important. It's so important to know that we are loved by God, and we are cared for by Jesus Christ. It is so important. But most of the church doesn't know it. I'm telling you, most of the church doesn't know it, because if we knew it, we'd have all converts. If we knew it, we'd have all converts. I told you the story about the young man I met in New York who was a friend of Dan Rehill. He was a Jewish young man, and he was converted to Christianity. He'll always be Jewish, you know what I'm saying? So he's a Jewish Catholic. And I was with them in New York a long time ago, and I had a relic of the true cross, and the Lord said to me, "I want this young man to have that relic." I said, "Lord, I don't want to give it to him. This relic has given me great solace during a difficult time in my life." And so the Lord said again, "But I want you to give this relic to this young man." I said, "Lord, I don't want to do it." Now, I don't usually do things like that, but I just told the Lord what I felt. I don't want to do it. Then I heard him say, if you do it, I'll give you a ministry to the Jewish people. So I said, sir, I've got a cross for you. It's a relic of the true cross. He says, I can't take it. I said, you have to take it. Just take my word for it. You've got to take it. And I'm going to tell you, I have Jewish people listening to me today, believing in Yeshua, believing in Jesus. I have Jewish people coming to our church once a week. Not many, but they're coming to our church, not to other churches. Just one or two. Not many. Not many. But you see, they would never hear the gospel if they didn't come to our church. But you see, that's the way it is. When you're obedient to God, he opens doors for you. And the first step is coming to know him. And you can't love him unless you know him. There used to be a song when I was growing up, to know him is to love him. I don't know if you remember that song. I don't remember the rest of the words, but I was to sing it to Jesus. To know him is to love him. You can't love someone you don't know. That's as simple as I can make it. And what is on the agenda of the Lord is that we come to know him personally, to know him as our Lord, to know him as our Savior. We come to know him. I was driving one day, and this is the time when I used to pick up hitchhikers. And I picked up this man, young man, and when he got in the car, he had a brown bag with him, and he was fishing in the bag, and I was getting bad vibes. And my gosh, he's got a gun in the bag. He's going to kill me. You know, I don't usually get bad vibes like that, but I started to engage him and talk. I said, you know, I'm a seminarian. He said, what is that? I said, well, I'm preparing to be a priest. Notice I didn't say I'm studying to be a priest. You don't study to be a priest. That's part of it. You prepare to be a priest. Well, I said to him, I'm doing that because I love Jesus, but he loves me more. And he said, why would you ever do it? I said, because I love Jesus, but he loves me more. He says, now I want to tell you something. He says, I was driving my school bus and I was backing up and I hit a child and killed the child and I can't get it out of my life. So I said to him, oh, that's a terrible thing. You didn't do it on purpose, but all my words aren't going to mean anything to you. I said, I'm going to find a place. We're going to pull off the next exit, find a safe place, and I want to pray with you. He said to me, I've never prayed in my life. I said, well, it's a good time to start. So I remember praying with him that Jesus would come into his heart, forgive his sins, that he would repent of his sins, and that Jesus would love him and love him and love him and let him know that the Lord holds nothing against this man. The Lord holds nothing against this man. So I drove him where I needed to be driven to, and the day was over. I went back to the St. Anne's Church where I was seminarian and went home and went to bed. Well, another thing happened when I was a first-year seminarian, and I'll never forget this. I was doing census, and I knocked on a lady's door, and I sat down. She welcomed me. She was old, very old, like 90. And I said to her, you know, do you know that God loves you? She said to me, I'm too old for that. I'm too old for that. You know, I'm soon going to die. I said, you mean you're too old to receive the love of God? She said, yes, I've never had anything to do with God. I said, oh, that's very interesting. I said, "But and you are saying today you want nothing to do with them again because you're too old." She said, yes. I said, well, listen to me. I said, just for a minute, you are 91 or 92. God existed from all eternity and before eternity. And let me tell you, you're just a baby to Jesus. You're just a baby to the Heavenly Father. You're just not anything. 91, 92 years means nothing. And He wants to come into your life. He loves you. That's why He sent me here to tell you that He loves you. I said, let's pray now. And we began to pray. And she asked Jesus to come into her heart. I tell you, you can't love Him unless you know Him. You have to have an encounter with the risen Lord. You have to meet Jesus. You can't make it happen, but you can ask Him to come into your life and to take charge and mean it. You could ask Him that He would pour out His blood upon you so that you would be forgiven. You would ask Him that you would repent of your sins and turn away from your sin. You can ask Him, come, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm desperate. And you know what? He will come. He will not delay. The Lord will come. He will not delay. He is waiting for you. He is waiting for you, and He wants to touch you. He wants to bless you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to renew you. He wants to give you a new heart. Oh, Lord, do we need hearts of flesh? Lord, you see all the hearts of stone. Lord, transfer our hearts with the heart of flesh. Take the heart of stone out of us, out of me. All that stuff, oh God, all that stuff that wants to hold on to your life, all that unforgiveness, oh Lord, take it from us today and give us a heart of flesh indeed, a heart that's like your heart. Oh, plant your heart in us. I will give you a new heart, is what you said, and I will put my spirit within you. We need that, Lord. We need that. We're desperate for it. We can't live without it. We just exist without it. We want to know you. We want to love you. We want to be close to you. We want to have you. We want to have you as our Lord. We want to have you as our Savior. We are desperate for you, Jesus. We are desperate for you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, what did you tell the 3,000 men on the day of Pentecost? Turn away from your sins and give your life to Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes an atonement for our sins. It takes the blood of the spotless Lamb of God that makes an atonement for our sins. You cannot love God unless you know Him. Once you begin to know Him, then you will love Him because He is lovable. Once you begin to know Him, then you will start loving Him. You cannot love Him unless you know Him. Oh, yeah, you can ask Him for this and ask Him for that and ask Him for the other thing. And that's fine. But to know Him is to be converted, is to be changed, is to have His Spirit within you. Oh, yes, that's what He wants. He wants to fill you with His Holy Spirit. He wants to bless you so that you could be a blessing to others. Remember what He said, love one another as I have loved you. I have not got that love in me all the time. Loving people the way He loved me, even unto death. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. That's what He said, and that's what He means. And you know what? It's for you, and it's for me. It's for you, and it's for me. That love that passes all understanding. That love that cannot be comprehended with the mind. You cannot comprehend love with the mind. Love is experienced in the spirit, in the soul, in the heart. That's where the love needs to go, not only in our head to say, oh, God loves me. We need to know, K-N-O-W, as Adam knew Eve and there was a baby in 9 months. We need to know that we are loved by God. We need to know that He gave His life for us. We need to know that He dwells within us by His Spirit. We need to know that. We need to know that. And to know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to love Him. To know Him is to love Him. And that means more than going to church. There are lots of people who go to church that don't know him. How do I know? Because of the way they're going to vote tomorrow. The way they're going to vote. How can you vote for somebody that kills children from the womb? How can you vote for somebody, my Lord, that even the last moment would kill children from the womb? How can you vote for somebody who wants to take our religious rights away from us? Like, come on. You know, if I was going to vote for somebody like that, I would question my knowing God. Because when you know God and he has shed his love in your heart by the Holy Spirit, then you live by his dictates. That doesn't mean you don't sin. Oh, no. When we sin, we repent. We go to confession. Go to confession and confess our sins. But I'm telling you, I find it hard to tell somebody who would vote for somebody that would want to kill children, I'd find it hard to believe that that person knows God. I'd find it hard. Now, I might be wrong. I might be wrong. But I find it hard to believe that that person knows God, because to know God means to care for your neighbor, and the baby is the neighbor, and the woman is the neighbor, and the woman that's got this problem pregnancy is the neighbor. And, you know, we say we wanted to keep abortion legal, safe, and few. Well, it's legal, but it's not safe, and it's not been few, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, there's about 100 million children that have been lost, and there'd be no recession if those 100 million children were living today. We'd have to make 100 million shoes, 200 million shoes, because you have 2 feet. You have to make 100 million jackets, 100 million sweaters, 100 million socks. You know what I'm saying? We have destroyed the economy by killing our children in the womb. That's how we have destroyed the economy. It's our fault that the economy is bad, because we have killed our children from the womb. And who speaks about it? It's like, you know what? They got 30 children today will die in Planned Parenthood. Yeah, what else is new? Well, I'm telling you, 30 children will die in Planned Parenthood today and tomorrow. What else is new? That is a big, awful thing that's going to happen, and that's happening right now. And it brings a curse onto the world. It brings a curse onto the nation. It brings a curse onto God's people. The only way we can rectify that curse is that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, became a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Please, 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 please get to know the Lord. And when you get to know him, you get to live like him. Again, I told you, and I'm not going to lie, I don't love him with all my heart. I want to. I don't love him with all my strength. I want to. I don't love him with all my mind. I want to. I want to, Lord. I want to. I need the grace to. And I want to repent of everything that's evil, Lord. Everything that's dark. Everything that's sinful. Everything. Everything. Not only me, but these people. Listen to these people. They need you, Lord. They need you as much as I need you. And I need you 100%. Amen. Amen. And amen. From the 8th to the 11th of November, Days of Glory, held at the Crowne Plaza Holiday Inn. And the website is daysofglory.org, daysofglory.org, daysofglory.org. And it's from the 8th to the 11th of November. It's going to be a wonderful time. The atmosphere of heaven is going to fill us, because we are gathering in the name of Jesus, and we will be worshiping him and worshiping the Father and celebrating the Eucharist. Listen, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice. Between the 8th of November and the 11th of November, Days of Glory at the Crowne Plaza Hotel Holiday Inn at Woburn, Mass. On Middlesex Canal Park. The Crowne Plaza Holiday Inn in Woburn, Massachusetts, for directions for a special rate, call 781-935-8760. That's 781-935-8760. That's 781-935-8760. And on the World Wide Web, daysofglory.org, daysofglory.org, daysofglory.org. You can come for 1 day or 2 days. You could come as many days as you want between November 8th and 11th. If you want to speak to somebody who's helping to run it, I'll give you her number. It's 847-962-7307. 847-962-7307. I'm going to complete this talk by saying, Lord Jesus Christ, look upon the United States and give us the president, Lord, not what we deserve, but what we need. Lord, through your compassionate blood, I ask you to give us the president, not the one that we deserve, but the one that we need. Lord Jesus Christ, we want you to help us in electing these people. Lord Jesus Christ, you know everything. You love us. And I ask you, do not give us what we deserve, but what we need. God so loved the world that he gave his only son for you and for me. Turn your life over to Jesus. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.